Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts on the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. I'm here with Tiki Thacker. Tiki, what do you do at Intel?
I'm the UMG Chief Platform Architect, and I have the coolest job at Intel.
UMG stands for?
Ultra Mobile Group.
And we've been hearing a lot about MIDs or MIDs. Can you tell us what those are?
Sure, Allison. The mobile internet devices are really something larger than an iPhone device and has a 4-inch plus size screen. The key things that we're trying to deliver is true internet and being able to have a full, rich media experience that you have on your PC.
So when I'm on my BlackBerry and I'm trying to search for something on the web and getting frustrated, that's what we're trying to solve with the mobile internet device?
Right. So there's a number of things you're frustrated about. I'm assuming this. You're frustrated about
I'm frustrated about a lot of things,
yeah.
But about my BlackBerry in particular.
Right. So the key thing you're probably frustrated about is really the experience you're getting in either the slowness of the speed with which the content comes down. The second thing could be that the content you're seeing is also not the same content you had experienced on the PC. Those are the two problems that we're trying to solve.
Now, you mentioned a 4-inch screen. Have we done research that suggests that's about the minimum size that you can have that full content experience?
Yes.
Why 4 inches?
Exactly, as you point out. It is the minimum size that if you want an 800 by 480 resolution, what we call wide VGA, anything smaller than that gets it harder to view. And the way you could look at it is today is that, you know, some of the screens will allow you to magnify the content. But it's a little bit, you know, frustrating to always magnify the content. So we believe the 4-inch is the minimum where you could just see the content and you can, of course, magnify it to, you know, get a better view of it.
Okay. I assume that we're driving Intel architecture silicon into these devices. Can you tell us a little bit about the core architecture that's going into this market segment?
Right. So just like in my previous experience, which was with MPG, we designed a special silicon, you know, at the time we called it Banias, that was designed to go into the new generation laptops, specifically made a break from what we used to put in our desktops. We've done the same thing here. We've designed a new piece of silicon. It's called Silverthorn. It's a completely new microarchitecture. It's optimized for the smaller devices as such.
And I would assume that battery life and power efficiency is a pretty important thing for you to think about when you're designing these devices.
Absolutely. That's the thing I live and breathe every day is how much power are we getting out of our silicon, how much power are we getting out of every component on our platform. And so we take it very seriously. Any feature we add in, we almost micromanage to remove power out of those devices.
What is the optimal battery life that we're aiming for mobile internet devices over the next couple of years? What can we expect in terms of time between charges?
The ideal thing which I would like to see for this device is for a whole week I could go without charging. If I'm not using it, it should have a standby time, always connected just like my phone, stay up for a whole week. And if I'm using it extensively, just say I'm browsing all day or I want to play video all day. So I'm expecting 8 hours of browsing, 8 hours of video for a full charge.
That sounds pretty impressive. The other thing that you mentioned is the performance of the connectivity. Can you talk a little bit about what Intel is doing in that space to drive a better performance to these devices?
Clearly, Intel's investing in WiMAX, and WiMAX couldn't have come at a better time for this class of devices. WiMAX is absolutely needed to provide that wide area connectivity. The key thing is the cost of that connectivity. If you think about what a 3G connection costs for your BlackBerry, today you probably pay about $50 for all-you-can-eat service. What we want to get down to is $20 and have the same connectivity, not like the 3G you have, but the same speed you have as your 10 megabit Ethernet, you know, being available broadband anytime, anywhere.
Better performance and lower cost really drives ubiquity, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Any other technologies that we're looking at? Obviously, we're developing the core microprocessors. We're looking at the connectivity technologies. Is there other aspects to designing these devices?
Right. So one of the key things is what we call SoC architecture, which is system on a chip architecture. What it brings here in this class of devices, it allows us to bring in a new level of IA performance, but we also put video blocks, graphics blocks that will do dedicated functions in a specialized hardware. And what it allows us to do is to bring bring a new level of performance without burning too much power. And additionally, one of the things we're doing there is we've kind of, you're familiar with the plug-and-play. People just plug in USB inside the laptop and their device is connected today. What we're trying to do is similar thing on a silicon chip where we can take out some blocks of logic and put in new blocks of logic very easily and have what we call derivative products available. So overall, we are trying to transition to very fast time to market for derivatives with this new architecture as well.
Now, I know that Intel recently made an announcement about driving idle power even further down. And you mentioned, you know, maybe going a week without charging. Is that the key technology driver that will help with extended battery life?
Absolutely. And the key thing is this is one of the technologies I personally worked on. And one of the things we've done here is to really burn no power when we're doing nothing. Isn't that a novel concept? Today, most of our processors, you know, even if you have a notebook, even when you put it on standby, it burns quarter of a watt. What we're trying to do is to burn a tenth of that.
Now, we've seen PDAs come and really take the world by storm, whether it be a BlackBerry or an iPhone. And people seem pretty satisfied with the functionality of those devices and what they provide. Why do we think that the mobile internet device is important?
The BlackBerry is a very useful function today, probably one of the best email devices today that's out there. It's well integrated into the corporate environment, so you can get your mail securely. What BlackBerry doesn't do and address is consumer needs. We've done extensive research in the marketplace, and we've shown devices between 4-inch, 3-inch versus 6 and 7 inches devices, and done a lot of studies about what people want. The desire people express is they want the same experience they have on the PC while they're sitting at home or at work. When they click on the web, you're going to YouTube, you're going to somewhere else, it simply works. That's what people want. And that's something that just doesn't work today. It's significantly large. How many errors you get on a little handheld devices out there today. And I truly think iPhone coming out has really blazing some trails. And I think you've seen some of the excitement today about people using the iPhone. And I truly believe that's a kind of a forebearer of this class of devices.
WiMAX seems like a critical technology to making the mobile internet device usage possible. What is the time frame for when we can expect WiMAX to be widely deployed?
WiMAX is going to take some time to be ubiquitously available everywhere, like you have GSM today. GSM took a number of years to be ubiquitously available. We believe that starting early next decade, there's going to be a lot of traction. We're starting to see WiMAX happen starting from next year, and then grow into significant coverage in the 2010 timeframe. And I think it's going to be early part of next decade where you're going to see the ubiquity in the WiMAX space.
Tuki, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I will be following this space very closely, and we'd love to have you back on a future edition of Chip Chat. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Allison.